Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. In a second, I'm going to be joined by Pete, and he and I are going to discuss, look, it's National Championship Day here for college football. It is something that I was watching right before he and I recorded, and I can't break myself from the concerns that I have regarding the NBA and its packaging compared to literally anything football. Like, there are high school football games out here in Texas that are better packaged than ESPN and TNT have lined up for NBA games. And I just think that's an inherent problem. So Pete and I are going to basically talk about that for the entirety of the show. And we're going to offer up our solutions to a pretty pervasive problem and whether or not it's something that can actually even be fixed. So it's a fun show. We do keep it lighthearted, but it's a very serious problem that the NBA is facing right now. Pete, I want to start today's show with this because the national championship game is on in the background. I was watching it right before you and I started talking. And once again, like, I find myself jealous of what football fans get to listen to when they're watching their game, especially big games, right? And Kirk Herbstreit has his own problems, and college football in general has its own inherent problems. Without touching that, I just listened to the amount of excitement and love and glee for the sport that they have that they're talking about as it's happening. And I just keep going back to what I listen to on especially nationally televised games. And man, like, if you were looking for reasons, if you were to power rank reasons why football might be leaving basketball in the dust, ratings wise, I'd have to think that the packaging is pretty high up there.
Yeah, I think it's number one, honestly. I was talking to somebody this weekend about this, watching one of the football games, which I don't do a ton, but I've been doing more recently, and a lot of it's for the presentation stuff. I make videos, right? And so I looked very closely at the shots that they take, like the different camera angles. And the thing that really stood out to me, now, this is with the caveat that the NFL pauses in between plays, like, right? You run a play, unless it's a no huddle situation, you've got 40 seconds to show the replay from a couple of different angles, whereas basketball keeps going, right? So the NFL has some inherent advantages in doing this. But even accounting for that, the NFL makes the players look like superheroes. And they've got the coolest, like, there's like the camera from above for the huddle, right? And it's like, you know, the men going into battle, right? Like, they break the huddle, break, right? Like, it looks cool as shit, right? And then they all go to the line, and then they cut to the wide angle that we're all used to seeing. And then, you know, running back, it's 6 yards, and it's now second and four. And they show the replay of the running back being dragged down, and it's a camera from the opposite end zone, but it's this high-powered lens that's zoomed in on his face, and you see him like grimacing as he's trying to drag his defender for the extra yard, and it's like, ah, you know, it's like.
And by the way, Alex Caruso is like single-handedly bigger than almost everybody that is on this field.
Right. And as this is happening, the announcers are not only telling you what's going on, but they're excited about it too. Yes. And that's the big thing.
Yeah. So I understand. I think it's highly, it gets into this territory where I don't think the people who are designing these shows give basketball fans enough credit. I would love to see, as somebody's getting ready for a free throw, why this specific set worked in the way that it did. Not during the halftime show, not like for some 20 second thing that Kenny Smith like runs up to the board to do, but like in the middle of the game, explain to the people who were listening why this was successful or why it wasn't successful or why it usually is successful and it broke down here, you know. And you watch this stuff, and I really think, honestly, Pete, that like the podcastification of these telecasts exists because they don't trust the consumer. they don't trust the consumer to follow along with them as they go down this rabbit hole of why a play worked out this way and why a play didn't work out this way. And look, I've talked to some people who know a little bit more behind the scenes with ESPN, and they've said that like Jeff Van Gundy is miserable doing his job. And it sure as hell sounds like it, but I kind of wonder if he would hate his job just a little bit less if he was allowed to explain some of these different situations and why the basketball that you're watching is actually playing out as the way that you're watching it versus the latest trade rumor that has nothing to do whatsoever really of the game that you're watching right there.
No, that's absolutely the case. But I want to zoom it out one more step, because I think this gets to why Van Gundy doesn't do that as much, whether this is a decision on the production angle where it's producers saying, oh, we don't really want you to get into that stuff. For me, it's like, it's less about the X's and O's, like, diagnose this play that just was run. But everybody who covers the game should love the game, should actively like watching it right there, because that comes through. We're the first ambassadors.
It's a big ask, Pete.
Bro, it's so simple. Like, we're the first ambassadors. We're the like communicators of what happened. Those of us who cover the game and those who televise the game, they're the very front of that line. That's the first place that people are going to have their relationship. So whether it's an ex-player that's really excited about some action that's not necessarily a 5-on-5 X's and O's thing, but like in the trenches and from their experience, or the former coach, right? Or whatever direction your, hey, isn't basketball cool, decides to manifest itself, like put people in positions to spread that joy. And that will come up in a different way depending on who it is. But that everybody that's in those positions that have that direct relationship with the public need to have a personal relationship with basketball that's like, isn't this cool? You know? And that's basically what I do, right? Is like, I watch a video and then I like point out this point in time that went by in an instant in a game and slow it down or just single it out at the very least and be like, hey, check this out. Isn't this cool? And of course, I've got knowledge about some of the technique and the other stuff like that, but really just that joy. Sure.
Sort of the people that we're complaining about, they have access to the same amount of knowledge you and I do, probably even more.
No, they've got more. Jeff Van Gundy was an NBA coach. Of course, he has more knowledge than I do. The players have more knowledge than I do. It's just a matter of like, can we get people? Doris Burke is a perfect example of this. Yeah. Doris Burke loves basketball. Doris Burke goes on little rants, like when something pisses her off, or if a player, that young player she's been following, like B.I. Doris Burke,
come on Locked On Lakers, please.
Yeah, but she loves basketball, right? Like, it's like when B.I. was starting to blow up, she was like, hey, check him out, you know? And that's like, let's all just share basketball, you know? And that's, if the more they get that attitude in there, I think that the results of that would really show up in a whole bunch of different ways, not just in terms of X's and O's.
Yeah. I mean, I look at everything through a sales prism, because before doing all of this, and even before getting into PR, like all of my work through my adolescence was in sales. And I just look at it as like a standpoint of, so let's look at the NBA as if it was a golf club, right? So I worked at Golfsmith for a bit, and imagine the NBA as a driver, and somebody walks in and they're interested in this driver, right? Because if you're tuning into an NBA game, you're at least interested in the product. So this person sees this other person swinging the driver, and the person swinging the driver is absolutely obliterating the ball. And the person who is sitting there watching this other person just have the ball explode off the club head asks, hey, what's up with that driver? And I immediately, as a salesperson, by the way, because all of the people involved with the NBA are selling the NBA, right, as a salesperson, turn around to the dude and say, oh, you couldn't hit that. Go look at that other one over there.
Or you start a conversation about something else.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. All right. Hey, what's that? What's the deal with that driver over there? Well, you know, we have putters on the other side of the store, and we have golf bags over there. And actually, that putter that you really, really like, that putter is considering turning into a pitching wedge and changing brands, because the brand that makes this pitching wedge just really, really needs a putter on it, you know? And it's just like,
bro,
it's so stupid the way that we do this. It's so dumb.
They were talking about a whole different sport the other day, man. They went on this whole thing on college football. I'm like, three, four plays go by. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, we beat this.
Well, I want to take a quick second when we come back. I want to ask, I think this is something you and I kind of disagree on. I'm not positive at this point that the problem isn't so pervasive that it can be actually fixed. Today's show is brought to you in part by betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag and you are going to get a 50% deposit bonus as soon as you decide how much you're going to put in. And look, the college football national championship is right behind us. I was fortunate enough to put a couple bucks down on the Alabama Crimson Tide. And just because of the circumstances that this game is being played in and how little we'd actually seen from Ohio State, let alone against elite competition. And here I am, a few bucks richer. And so I am here to tell you guys that as soon as I feel like pulling that money out of the website, BetOnline makes it super easy to do so. They gave me a ton of options to be able to put a little extra on this game, given the level of confidence that I had on Alabama, and doing so was super easy. Just make sure that you know, if you do partake in gambling, please do so responsibly. So again, head on over to betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get a 50% deposit bonus on the amount of money that you initially put into the website. And there are going to be a ton of options moving forward. No game of the day today because we are still waiting to find out who all is playing and which game and all of that stuff. So that's kind of up in the air. But just generally speaking, if you are going to partake in this stuff, betonline.ag is the place to do so, and use that promo code LOCKEDON for that 50% deposit bonus. So I've thought a lot about this, and it sucks to come to this kind of realization. And hopefully you can walk me off of the ledge, but I'm not sure Charles Barkley is like a cornerstone of Turner Broadcasting, right? Like he is a giant voice that like can't just go away. And according to everybody who has ever worked with him, just doesn't give a bleep. So if you tell Chuck to change even a little bit, he's going to tell you either I'm out or go bleep yourself, right? Shaq and Kenny less so. Ernie Johnson, I do get the feeling that like he legitimately does like it. Like the people who didn't play or weren't previously associated directly with the league, I've always felt like Ernie is fine. Kevin Harlan is really good. Mike Breen is really good. And Marv Albert was at one point, but he's now senile and is confusing player with player who don't even look alike. He's reached that, like, remember when Chick Hearn was calling Derek Fisher Shaq, you know, semi-regularly. It's time for Marv Albert to go. And yet, like, you look at the people who either played or coached or whatever, and they just don't seem to like the sport. And I don't know that the NBA can demand that Turner fire anybody. I don't know if the NBA can demand that ESPN fire anybody. And so long as that remains the case, now maybe I'm wrong. Maybe ESPN can say like, hey, maybe get some new blood in there, which Turner is trying to do with like Dwayne Wade's show on Tuesday nights. And by trying to get Candace Parker more involved, and Grant Hill is doing a little bit more stuff. But so long as the NBA can't just put its foot down and say either these people either have to change their approach completely, which I'm not sure everybody is actually capable of, or they got to go, I don't really know where the solution comes from or where that solution starts.
I think you're going to continue to see market forces kind of get the NBA in a position where they're trying to find revenue in
free market
places.
Pete? What?
Oh, no, no. Market forces exist whether we like them or not. But when you keep losing money, eventually you get motivated to make some changes. Mm-hmm. And the TV broadcast is the element of the NBA. Everything else has changed about the NBA, how games are covered in my lifetime, every other component of it, the existence of podcasts, radio shows, like kind of podcasts replacing them for a lot of people. Sports talk radio was big mm-hmm. when you and I were growing up, and now it's more podcasts. Then the, you know, sites like The Athletic. So you've got the online social media, you know, LFR, these bloggers. This whole ecosystem is very different. But the one thing that stayed the same pretty much has been how the game is broadcast on TV. And the thing is like everybody kind of stays in their job forever and ever in that portion of the business. And in every other part, like if you were kind of an old school period of thought and you're like, three-pointers are bad and we're going to pound the post with our offense. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of came from this, the way we used to do it type of mentality. Guess what? You would lose. And then you would naturally get pushed out of the game because you couldn't coach or play in the league as it evolves. Well, if there's no pressure being put on the television broadcast and it's the same people doing the job forever and ever, well, of course, like, of course, it's not going to change all that much. So I do think that the league's going to look to find ways to better monetize. I think that includes kind of a venturing out online more. And we've seen them do that a little bit over the last couple of years. But yeah, I think it's going to be, there's going to be pressure on them to figure out how to, like, why are we losing viewers in a monetizable way? And I think that it'll be born from that.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised, honestly, that, like, it's weird. When that ratings conversation was going on, which I didn't really enjoy because it was very disingenuous coming from, you know, the Clay Travises of the world and those people, like, just frankly aren't worth my time. But still, like, I do think that we do have this way to monitor the health of the league in just that one specific way. And you would think that ESPN would really care about those ratings, right? Like, you would think that TNT would really care about those ratings. And yet every time that rating conversation came up, and this is why I thought it was so disingenuous, it was always, well, it's the players' fault. Well, it's the culture surrounding those players' fault.
Well, yeah, that was the vehicle to make that point in the first place. Clay Travis doesn't care about the NBA or any of the sports, really. This is all a grift in order to make money for him.
But like, so one of the people who was very involved in that conversation was like Ethan Strauss, right? And he's not Clay Travis to me.
No, oh, certainly not. No.
I think he produces really good thought-provoking content. And, you know, when he was bringing up some of these questions about, like, what is going on here, I think it was worth kind of looking at a little bit more closely. And yet, like, I always got really frustrated because it was always somehow the league's fault. And I'm not saying the league is blameless. I think there are aspects of the league that do rub consumers the wrong way. You know, I think this idea that James Harden can be directly responsible for the entire culture surrounding the Rockets and then take no personal accountability when that culture falls flat on its face, of course that pisses people off, especially Rockets fans, right? And so, like, there are problems with the league too, but you would think that TNT, being a business and a competitive business, would care that non-Lakers games are getting significantly lower numbers than all the other games by a lot. You know, you'd ask, hey, how can we, without chipping away at the Lakers audience, how can we build this other non-Lakers audience up higher than it currently is? ESPN, same thing. Why is it that non-Lakers games just continue to struggle like that? And baseball just refuses to ask this question. And I think basketball is in the spot where ESPN, TNT, they do have to start asking that question. Hey, what is going on with our broadcast? Why is the NFL so healthy through all of the controversy that the NFL has found itself in, they are literally killing players through CTE. You know, like this has been
is the NFL still doing well ratings wise? Last I saw, they had dropped.
I think they dropped, well. but I think they're still like far and away more popular than the other.
Of sports, course,
you know. Sure. And so, yeah, I'm not painting this to be the picture that like everybody else is struggling and the NFL just continues to climb. I'm just saying, like, how can we start to bridge that gap? How can we look at ourselves to find ways to start to narrow that gap? Between bridging means that like the NFL and the NBA would be working together at any point. That's not what I'm saying. How can we narrow that gap? How can we start to get the NBA to a place to where it's more healthy in a sustainable manner that doesn't involve just hoping that the Lakers are really good or hoping that the Knicks are one day really good or the Warriors are one day really good. Like I just think the entire approach to this is extremely flawed and short of the NBA really stepping in. Now, I think one thing that the NBA is doing that I find really interesting is their work with like Danny LaRue and Nate Duncan, where they are elevating them and they're letting fans tune in to their version of a game broadcast. I think that's really interesting. That's opening up the free market. That's like Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, Chris Webber, Reggie Miller, Marv Albert, like these problems with the league should look at the fact that the NBA is elevating Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue as like, hey, are they trying to find a replacement for us? Because in any other position, in any other workplace, that would be the case, right? If like your boss was like, hey, meet Jimmy here. He's going to do Locked On Lakers Part 2. I'd be like, huh, what's going on there? And yet you tune into all of these games, and especially in direct contrast with NFL games and now in college football games, you tune into these games and I'm not saying be rah-rah and be PR. I know what PR sounds like. It sucks. Nobody likes reading that stuff. But how can, is this actually something that can be addressed before we reach the point where the NBA is saying like Jeff Van Gundy's got to go, Mark Jackson's got to go?
I'm not going to speak on anybody's job, but of course things can be improved. Like improvement, this is true as basketball players, right? Like bring it back to the court for a moment. Mm-hmm. We're watching THT get a whole hell of a lot better, and it's exciting watching this early season process of that, right? And what it is that like it's small things. It's little things that add up. It's understanding how to position your body the right way when defending Gary Trent on a lock and trail, which you didn't mm-hmm. do. And then all of a sudden you're defending Eric Gordon pretty well. And it's like, hey, you're making some progress, right? Same thing's true in the broadcast. Is let's get more the biggest bit of advice I wish I could, if I could snap my fingers and change just one element, is that everybody stays in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. Go back and listen to Chick. This is part of the reason why I love Chick. Chick was doing a simulcast, so he was describing it for the radio and TV at the same mm-hmm. time. But I would argue this is a way better way of broadcasting games. There was a play, I think it ended up as like a lob to Eddie Jones or something. It was something from like the 95 Lakers. And it's in the third quarter in January at Charlotte. It's one of those games where it's like, I'm not going to remember this game in a week. Or like most people aren't going to remember this game in a week. So just another game on the schedule. But Chick is like, you know, there's Lotte against Bowie, tips it out to mm-hmm. Van Exel. Van Exel up the right sideline, over to Jones, alley-oop, you know, and like he's slam dunk, right? 62-60, 3:58 left in the third quarter. You're in the moment and you're sharing that with the audience, right? And that level of engagement doesn't have to be rapid fire like that, but there are certain announcers that do really lock in and stay in the moment. And if you can combine that with better production elements, like marketing, branding, packaging, all of this, the stuff that the NFL does, like, you know, they had this shot of Aaron Donald and it was in that, you know, the 8K that they're trying out, mm-hmm. which is another thing, all of these partnerships, like make it fucking cool. These guys, like I was saying earlier, in person, basketball is way cooler than football is to watch the game in the stadium, but football is way better on TV. Mm-hmm. And part of that, is like, look, you'll never have that advantage of pausing between every play. And that's where the packaging really comes in, is rather than just sitting there looking at them in the huddle from the wide view, they're going to all these shots that make it look interesting. You don't have that advantage in the NBA, but if you can stay more in the moment and add those better packaging elements, I think you can get people fascinated with basketball. I'm convinced of this. Like, I was fucking around in a closet in like my work, the closet at work that had been turned into an office where I was working, started doing LFR. And I was, just because I was like, I'm tired of all this coverage and I just want to point out the things that are fun, and I start posting it and it grows very quickly. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're going to tell me that if you just like show some goddamn enthusiasm about the game, it's not going to be popular? I just don't believe it.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that part of it. I just don't know that we can get the Jeff Van Gundys, the Mark Jacksons, to actually be enthusiastic.
There's something about them that loves basketball, right? Former a former NBA player.
I think at this point they're more they more enjoy the paychecks that come with the game than the actual game.
I hope
that's what
wrong.
It sounds like, man. Like, I don't know the people. That's the disclaimer here, but. You can't be in this game making the amount of money that they have and still not have any enjoyment for it, like audible enjoyment for it, and tell me that you actually love this stuff. Like, you don't, you know, and move on, go away. Like, you, I know, Pete, you don't want to touch anybody's employment and that's fine, but I very happily will. The NBA would be a much better, like objectively better as a league without Jeff Van Gundy, without Mark Jackson. I think Reggie Miller has grown on me a little bit, but I wish he would like know more. Like, I never listened to Reggie Miller and say like, that guy doesn't like what he's watching. Does he know enough about it to hold the job that he does? Or not that he doesn't know enough about the game, but like the league that he's commenting on. Right. Like, I wish he would spend more time and do a little bit more homework to get ready for the games that he's watching. But I still feel like he loves it. Chris Webber, like he talks like he's autofilling on his iPhone and he has no idea where a sentence is going when he starts it. But like, I still get the feeling that he likes the sport that he's watching. And yet I listen to Jeff Van Gundy in particular, and he's just always miserable. And that can't be healthy for the audience. It just can't. It's too beautiful a game. One thing I was thinking about while you were talking, Pete, we're going to have to throw to break here, but we're way behind on the break actually. But the packaging of it and the way that the NFL makes these guys look out to be gladiators, and it helps that they're wearing pads and all that stuff. And I'm kind of curious if you think there are ways that the NBA could do that too. So let's take a quick second. We'll come back to that. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com, where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now, and you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high-tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part, and that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, rockauto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And And by the way, Chris Weber, there's no way you're listening to this right now, but I am somebody who also like starts sentences and I don't really know where they're going as I'm starting them. So I know the affinity. I know the affliction. I can recognize it too. Just, you know, it just sucks that you're doing so on national TV. Now, the packaging of this is something that I'm really curious about, because like you said a second ago, the football in general, not just the NFL, like college football is really good at this too. They make these collisions, and they are like bone shattering collisions. And they are, you know, it's a very physical sport, and they are like the people who are playing this game are some of the best athletes on the face of the planet. I still contend that basketball players are better athletes in general, but football players are right there. And there are very viable claims that football players could make to for that case too. And like you said, that they, I think the packaging of all of these games is does a very good job to highlight the superhuman nature of what you're watching. And I think this is something that like basketball Twitter and NBA nerds have to kind of separate themselves. One thing I wish that the NBA would do more of is get a camera like eye level with the rim, so you could just see how high these guys are on any given play. Like Wesley Johnson is one of my least favorite Lakers of all time, but I specifically remember going to a game. We had Jen and I got seats, and we were basically eye level with the rim. And dear God, dude, it felt like Wesley Johnson was just like hovering up there for the whole game. And I'm somebody like you and I, we both played, so we kind of understand like what we're watching, and we're capable of contextualizing it as well. But it's not like you and I are the only people who ever played basketball and didn't go to pro, right? Most people who are in those arenas have played basketball or love the game. They like the game enough to be paying to go see it in person. And yet I don't think the NBA and the way that they telecast these games do enough to just show how insane the feats of athleticism that you're watching are on any given day, like on any given play, let alone game. But you could just be watching the collisions between bigs as they jockey for position, for rebounding or for post position. Like that's Pacific Rim Transformers stuff. Like that's what you're seeing is two people, 7-foot-ish, 250 pounds plus, trying to move heaven and earth for an inch. And that's exactly what you're watching on a football field, but it's packaged so much better for those games than it is on basketball. So I'm kind of curious, Pete, do you think this is something that the NBA's TV partners could do to, are there angles that the NBA could kind of throw to highlight that on a more regular basis?
Of course there is. Like, all you got to do is highlight what is superhuman about them, right? So yeah. What is superhuman about an NBA player?
Everything.
Well, for one, right. So for one, they are average height, 6'6", right? Mm-hmm. 6'7". So just that right there makes them unusual. If you walked by a 6'7" dude on the street, you would be like, God damn, like no matter what, right? Like,
right.
And so that's the normal guy out there. That's the average Joe out there. Mm-hmm. So there are the court level view, the sideline view is great for illustrating how tall and how big these guys are, right? If you're looking to illustrate their ability, their leaping ability, there's the through the camera angle. Through the backboard angle, right? There's a couple of different ways to do that. If you're looking at illustrating a 5-on-5 concept, the overhead camera works really well for that. These are all things that I've learned from editing videos, right? And that there are, if somebody's driving down the lane and is gonna freaking dunk on you, that looks awesome from the baseline cam, right? Because they're coming mm-hmm. right at you, and they're yeah. so fast, and they're freaking 6'6", right? And so it's emphasizing those types of things. And then you've got like the tight angle. And this is another thing where basketball players are remarkable. How many jobs in the world are there, like 500 of those jobs, but tens of millions of people who want one of those 500 jobs? So the level of expertise that NBA players have, this is something that I especially in my current position, I can't illustrate to the degree that I want to, even though I could with these angles. but the
just make sure a Laker is always involved, right? Like,
yeah,
like, well, look, look at Caruso stand there. It's, oh my God, what is happening over there?
I wish it were that simple. No, yeah.
I know.
But they're technically so superb that they've got, but if the fan doesn't understand what they just saw, that why it was technically superb, like, they're not going to have that appreciation for it. And that goes to the last part of it, which is when content creators ask me for advice and like the different film rooms, I try to follow the different film rooms around the NBA and people trying to incorporate.
We're publicizing my DMs to you. That's what we're doing here.
So the different content creators that incorporate video, a lot of times will reach out like, hey, I had a question about this. And the one bit of advice that I give to everybody, and there's very few bits because everybody's different, but the one bit of advice that I give to everybody is slow the game down, you know, 1/3 mm-hmm. speed, 1/4 speed, because basketball just happens too fast. And there's so much cool shit that happens in the blink of an eye. That's part of what's superhuman about it, right? Is that like, oh, 3 decisions just got made in 2 seconds on this like jab step, up fake, rip through, like right. all that happens like that. But like 3 things happened where it was like action, reaction, action, reaction. Oh, you messed up on that reaction. That leaves you weak right here. Drive to the basket. Because you expose your top foot, right? But if that happens in 2 seconds, you're not going to see that. And so there's a martial artistry to it of like, if you really wanted to break down a great martial artist, you would probably slow them down. And so that you could understand the positioning of their body and their footwork and all of the different components that just happen too quickly in real time.
Yeah, I think that's a big one, is really slowing the game down is something that needs to be done. Also, because... So it's very easy. And every time I talk to somebody who meets an NBA player for the first time or goes to a game and sits close to the court for the first time, the first thing they always say is like, Jesus, dude, these people are huge.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You don't get a sense for it on TV.
You don't. And one thing that I think that these shows should do a better job of, or not shows, but like these telecasts of these games need to do a better job of, is that human being is 36 inches in the air right now.
That's right.
That
you got to be floor level to show that. You got to be floor level to show, like, you got to be looking up at it for it to be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I think NBA Live did this at one point, and I think they did this for a slam dunk contest did this, where they had, like, you know, in real time, not in real time, but like for the immediate replay, they would show somebody up in the air on their dunk attempt. And you'd be like, that dude is 38, whatever inches up in the air for this dunk attempt. And, you know, you could talk about all of the different things that are less than, shorter than 40 inches, you know, and just ways to really highlight what you're watching is legitimately superhuman. And in this era where the most popular movies in the entire world right now are superhuman movies and superhero movies, like, maybe we should highlight the fact that these people are doing things that 99.99999% of the population just cannot even dream of doing. And yet this is where I get kind of annoyed with NBA Twitter, is because anytime a new camera angle is introduced, it's like, oh, no, go back here. I want to be able to see like the fourth rotation on the back cut on every single play. And it's like, it's not about you. It's not.
It's not. But you know what? They have a point too. And that comes to like,
you can every mix them. Anytime, like it's all
hear me out. Hear me out. This is a complaint that I have with the like direction of the game, mm-hmm. is different camera angles show different things well, and it's got strengths and weaknesses, right? That baseline cam is great at seeing that guy coming at you. It's not so good if you're trying to illustrate action in the corner, if you're not on strong side corner, because you're like, the camera has to kind of look through the basketball stanchion. These are all things and so a director with an understanding of how every camera angle ties to being coherent for the viewer, for like that angle to make sense for them. Like the reason why those new camera angles aren't generally liked is because there's not, there doesn't seem to be basketball direction. Reasons to like a basket. So, you know, the rail cam, the one that they put that people don't like,
I liked
the,
it.
That there's, well, it's, it can be misused. It's either really good or it's really bad. Mm-hmm. If you're in that mid-court 3-point line to 3-point line and everybody's running up court on a fast break, a quick shot of that looks like you're running with them. Mm-hmm. That's what's really great about that angle and that shot. But if something happens on the other side of the court, it's like, I can't see that, you know? And so it's up to the director, and that goes into the production. And from watching that NFL game, every moment, Anthony, every single shot made sense for what they were trying to show. Mm-hmm. And that is not the case in the NBA telecast. It's just like, oh, we got a new camera angle. We're just going to use it. And it's not without understanding the basketball situations in which using that camera enhances the experience of the viewer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do understand when those new camera angles are introduced and it's just like used for live basketball, you know, like that's where I can understand where people are coming from. It's like, just do the normal angle for live basketball and then use that as your replay. Keep that replay camera going so that you can on a certain play where that camera is going to be able to show its utility. That's when you jump in and you use it. So that's absolutely fair. I just think, you know, like every single time something new is introduced to this, like this is very clearly an inferior product. Like the telecast of a basketball game hasn't evolved very much. And I would actually probably argue it's devolved. It's like worse right now than it was like 10 years ago, I would say.
There are very few things that I believe that about, but I agree with that. Yeah.
And so like when new things are introduced, like that's how progress is made. Is when you mess around a little bit, you introduce something new and sometimes stuff sticks. Now, to your point, you would hope that the people who are introducing this new stuff would have a better understanding of like its utility before we see it being misused right from the get-go. So like that's absolutely fair. But I don't know. I want to see some of the stuff used to its best, to its optimal way before I go out there and say like, nope, just stick to the normal stuff. Cause the normal isn't working. The normal sucks. The normal is a bad product right now. Let's try to get away from the normal, even if it means we're going to fall on our face a couple times in our attempt to do so.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, man.
All right. We were going to cover a couple other things for the show and we wound up not being able to get to them. So
yeah, let's talk. Actually, isn't that the great irony of how often we talk about this? It's another podcast where we don't talk about the basketball, where we bitch about other people not talking about basketball,
but not us.
We're above that.
It's us talking about like why this thing needs to, because it does need to improve, Pete.
It does. Like you're telling me, I started doing LFR for my own amusement in this little office, that because I was so fed up as a fan that I felt like I wasn't getting that from anywhere. And I was like, I got nothing to do right now. Like, oh, let's watch this little play. And I just learned how to use iMovie. Right. And mm-hmm. so there's that curiosity. I'm not the only person with that curiosity and that has that craving for that. So yeah, man, I'm all aboard this train.
Yeah, I mean, this show exists the way that it does because people were frustrated because in its infancy, the Spectrum people weren't allowed to talk about how bad the Lakers were when they were very clearly tanking. So it was great. Like I had a giant market share all to myself because like I was allowed to say, yeah, Byron Scott isn't a very good head coach, you know? And so, yeah, it does allow for some creativity to exist on the peripheries and then eventually become more mainstream. I would just say that a lot of the stuff that you and I have been talking about isn't new. Like a lot of the stuff that you and I talk about, like it's just now, especially the more that you tune into these other sports, it becomes all the more highlighted, the shortcomings of and not the sport. The sport I still contend is
basketball's so cool, man. That's the tragedy of it, is like they do such a disservice to such a beautiful thing that yeah, like we really need to do better.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Tomorrow, Pete and I will be back to recap the Lakers playing the Rockets all over again. It's Still not really sure who all is going to play in that one. Still not necessarily sure if there is going to be a game because of everything COVID related across the league. So we will keep you guys posted. If we do have to record, or if I have to hop on here and record an emergency podcast because the league makes some crazy decision and takes a week off, I will do exactly that. But until then, hopefully not until then, because I don't want to have to do that. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. I'll talk to you tomorrow.